Let us pray. Creator God, you called your prophets to speak on your behalf. Your Christ called disciples to follow him. You call to us now, deep in our hearts. We listen for your voice. We wait for your will. We want to follow. Call us, and we will follow. In the Spirit of Christ. Amen. A reading from Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth for mourning. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. People and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change God's mind and not treat us with such fierce anger, so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God reconsidered the calamity God had threatened to bring upon them, and God did not do it. The word of life. Please stand for the Psalter, Psalm 62, found in the blue hymnal on page 787. For God alone my soul waits in silence. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, power belongs to God.
And you, O Lord, belong to steadfast love, for you convey all the glory to your word.
I sing your praise for steadfast love, fulfill your purpose for me.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned, to which God called you. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of their call already circumcised? Let them not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of their call uncircumcised? Let them not seek circumcision. Circumcision is nothing. and uncircumcision is nothing. But obeying the commandments of God is everything. Let each of you remain in the condition in which you were called. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the first chapter. When John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The empire of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will have you fishing for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And walking on a little farther, Jesus came to James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately Jesus called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired hands and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I really wasn't kidding with the kids. When Jesus says, "Follow me," I don't know what that means. Because it means something different for each one of us. The deal is, God has given each of us gifts that are not for us, they're for the sake of the world. And each one of us has a different set, a different combination of what those gifts are. It has something to do with some skills and talents that you have. It has something to do with some personality traits, a little of who you are and how you are in the world. And some of it almost has nothing to do with you. It's just how God is in you and what happens because of that. And what God is always inviting us to do is to live in harmony with that godly stuff, those spiritual gifts that are in us. So when Jesus says, "Follow me," it doesn't mean that we're leaving behind who we are and going to some foreign place or to become some foreign thing. We are becoming more authentically who we are. So Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, you don't have to become somebody different to follow the call of Jesus. Remember who you were when you were called. It's already in you. You might have to learn some new skills because you're going to be doing a new thing. And sometimes the call of Jesus comes as this huge turn in our lives when we're asked to do something new that we haven't done before. Like we were fishermen and then we're itinerant preachers and teachers. It's a different thing. So sometimes you will hear people talk of how they have been called into the ministry. And some people were going to go somewhere else first. And then, whoop, they ended up there. Sometimes, it's not a surprise, it's just a call. In my case, I'm the sixth generation Methodist minister in my family. So if you're going to ask me when I was called into the ministry, I'm pretty sure it was somewhere around the early 1850s. But I still had to hear that call. There came a time when I had to pay attention to why I was here. How did I get here? What am I doing? Am I doing what God is inviting me to do? Because a call is not the same thing as a cookie fortune that says you should do this. A call is not a command to go. It's an invitation to come. There's a sense of being accompanied. There's a sense that Jesus is saying, "Here, I'm doing this. Come do it with me." Now, sometimes that's a big change, and sometimes it's a hard change. When you talk about people and their call to ministry, sometimes the difficulty is believing that you're called because you really thought you were going to do something else. Sometimes the call itself is pretty clear. What's hard is carrying it out. A lot of people don't have it as easy as I did. It was pretty clear for me that I was called to the ministry, and I went into the ministry, and everybody let me. That's not always the way it is. Some people hear that call and wrestle with it, or they don't wrestle with it, and everybody else wrestles with it. Other people block it. Other people say, no, you're not called. For some people, it's carrying out the call that's the challenge. Some of them are perfectly clear that they're called to ministry, and they go to seminary, and they rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt because it's grad school, and then they come out and get in this little tiny church that doesn't pay them very much. And that's really hard. Which is why there is the Ministerial Education Fund. There's a little blurb on the back of the bulletin about that, and I'd love for you all to pitch money in there, because it helps some of those students get scholarships that otherwise would not be able to answer the call. But the call isn't just to the ministry. We all hear calls all the time. Sometimes God calls you to go to Africa, or to teach Sunday school, which you've never done before, or to help out with something in the church or in the community that you feel like you're being called to do. It's not always a big dramatic call. Sometimes it's just a little ordinary call. But it's still the call of God. It's still that voice that says, come with me. I'm doing something, and I need you. I need you to be right here at this place, in this time. Come here. Now, when we really start listening for that call, we realize that it's not just a call to do a particular thing, like teach Sunday school or be a minister or whatever. Sometimes it's not so much a call to be a pastor, it's just a call to be a Christian. Sometimes the call of Jesus is the call to live in a certain way. And in that way, Jesus is always calling all of us. Follow me. Live like this. Live with this kind of forgiveness. Be a healing presence. Shine the light of God into the lives of people whose lives are pretty dark. Come help me do this. So we listen for the call of God at a deeper level. It's not just, what am I supposed to do with my life? It's, what am I supposed to do with my time right now, whatever I'm doing? And when we listen to that, we hear an even deeper call. Not just to what I'm supposed to do, like I should be forgiving, but every moment. It's as if Jesus is standing right next to us, and Jesus is saying, I am going deep into your life. Come with me. I am going deep into this experience of being human. Stay close. Follow me. Here we go. Sometimes I sense that. I'm talking with somebody, and it seems like there's something that hurts. Something that's bothering them, and they want to be able to talk about it. And it's as if Jesus says, I hear that pain, and I'm going to go listen to that pain. I want you to come with me. Follow me. We're going to listen to that pain. And so I resist the temptation to talk about the Patriots and instead be attentive. There are times when I sense that there's something that needs to happen in a group, in a room, or out in the world. And it's as if Jesus is standing right there saying, I really care about these people. I'm going to go do this thing. I'm going to go do this loving thing. Stay with me. Come with me. Follow me. I'm going to do this. And sometimes it's not a particular thing. It's just a particular way of being present. I think that's what Jesus has in mind. That call is not necessarily to go down the road and do something foreign, something dramatic like Jonah, go preach in Nineveh. Sometimes it's just a call to be present, to be with Jesus in whatever Jesus is doing. Which means that ultimately when we're listening for God's call, sometimes a way to frame the question is to ask, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And sometimes that's kind of blank. Sometimes a way to ask the question is, what is God doing right now? What is God already doing in my life? Is God already giving me the attentiveness to this person's hurt that then is the call to go one step farther and say, is there something you want to talk about? Is God giving me this concern for these people that something could be done with because God is already reaching out to them? And all I have to do is pick up on what God is already doing and follow God. I think about that a lot these days on a lot of levels, because part of what we're doing as a church is listening for God's call. God doesn't just call individuals. God calls communities. And if we are here as a church, it is because God has called us. We would not survive if God were not calling us to be a church. We would have no energy. We would have no resources. We would have no way to proceed if God weren't here first saying, here's what I'm doing. Come be with me in this. So the question is, what is God doing at St. Matthew's? What is God doing among us? Where is the energy of the Spirit that's already at work? That is an unspoken invitation of God. Here's what I'm doing. Come be with me in this. That's really important for us. And we keep hearing it these days because this is the Epiphany season in which we are still with those magi following that star, following the light of Jesus, listening for where Jesus is leading us. We're still living out this season of the baptism of Jesus in which God says, I have given you gifts. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now get to work. It's also significant in these days because over the next month or so, we need to make some really important decisions as a church. For many years, we've been going along doing what we do and paying for what we do without really thinking about either one of those. And what we do and how much it costs and how much we give have been separating. And now we're at the point where we really have to pay attention to that. We're 4/5 of the way to doing what we think we're called to do. So the question is, are we called to do more, which means we're called to give more money, or is the money that we've already decided to give what we're really called to do? In which case, we don't need to worry about that other stuff. And starting soon, we'll stop doing some of that stuff. But it's not a budget question. It's a question about our call. What is God doing among us? And what do we need to do to get in harmony with that? And if we need to get up and go to a new place, if we need to leave our nets and follow Jesus to a new place, if we need to pledge more money or invest more time, then we better do that because that's what we're being called to do. That's how we be most authentically ourselves. And if we're not being called to do that, then we don't have to worry. There's no guilt. That's not what we're called to do. But now is the time to listen deeply. What is God doing in my life? What do I need to do in order to follow that energy, to stay close to Jesus? What is God doing among us? What do we need to do to follow what God is already doing? It's not hypothetical. It's just that we haven't seen it yet. We haven't heard clearly yet. Hopefully, we will listen, all of us, each of us individually and all of us together, not just in the next few weeks, but for the rest of our lives. Keep listening for that voice that very seldom uses words, but somehow communicates to us, here I am. I am doing miraculous things. Come with me. Stay close. Here we go. Will you pray with me? God, we give thanks for your life, your activity, your work among us and within each of us. Help us to listen. Help us to discern how you are calling and to follow. God, for your faithful love, we give you thanks. For the life of Jesus, who somehow mysteriously still works among us and calls us to follow him, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.